You are now immersed in the Superfans Soccer Cast with your hosts, Maddie Savage and Mike Apex. It's about to get lit.
Hey, welcome in, super fans. This is your hosts of today's show, Maddie Savage. I got Mike Apex with me.
What's going on, super duper fans? It's game day. I know everybody's hyped and ready to just go crazy today, right?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be an excellent day. Similar to last week, we had some very exciting games. We had also got the CONCACAF Champions game. We got US Cup, so we're getting our fill for us super fans. We were just, you know, feasting right now. It's just excellent time of year.
Hey, yes indeed, Maddie. It's a soccer smorgasbord right now. Everybody's right. You know, we're feasting on the games today, and like you said, so much going on, and man, ready. Can't wait to get this show rolling and going, baby.
All right. Well, this episode we are gonna, that right there is the high point of our praise for this episode, because we're gonna be on a carousel, and it's not gonna be a very a good carousel. It's the coaching carousel. We have already two coaches fired, a couple other on the hot seat. They might be getting thrown from the carousel. It could be, you know, after today's matches. It could be, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, we get the news. Just never know. To give a little rundown, the two coaches that I just mentioned, we have Montreal's coach, Laurent Courtois. They let him go right before last week's matches. It was kind of a surprise that they did that, because he hasn't been with the team that long. But right. given their track record with coaching, and we'll get into that because it's abysmal. Mm-hmm. As some people have said, it's Montreal, that you can't not think that they wouldn't do this. So that's the first coach that was out, and the latest was Peter Vermees with Sporting Kansas City. And that one was kind of a slow-moving train wreck of a situation, but it did go down.
Yeah, it did. I didn't like the way that was handled. We're going to talk about that. But let me put my little theme music, since it's a carousel. Yeah, get your popcorn, guys. Get your caramel-coated popcorn, because this coaching carousel is out of control. Let me start off with our guy up there in Montreal. Au revoir, okay, to Coach Laurent Courtois. This guy was fired. Now, last year, if I'm not mistaken, they made wild card, right? They made the playoffs. That was his first year.
They did.
These guys made the wild card. They played. They were in the eighth spot. They played Atlanta United, right? Remember, Atlanta got hot at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody expected these guys to, you know, his first year. That was a big accomplishment, or so we thought, right? And, coming out of the gate this season, I was doing a little research, and, you know, we check some of these games. We look them over. And you know what I noticed, Maddie?
What's
all
that?
Five of their games were on the road. All the games have been on the road this year.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Dude, what's up with that?
You want to know why?
MLS.
You want to know why? I can tell you why. They're going through a stadium renovation, and they weren't available to play at home for that stretch of time. So they knew that going into it. They were going through stadium renovations. They have a very nice stadium. It's just going through renovations. In the first little bit of the season, they had to start out on the road. And then the organization knew this. So for them to let the coach go – after, you know, hey, you're going to start on the road, any team. Think about it in the NBA. We've been kind of, you know, bringing in topics or whatever, you know, from multi sports, right? Every team, whether you're an East Coast or West Coast team, you're going to have an East Coast trip or a West Coast trip. You're going to have so many games in a row. And it's just like, hey, if you can just get through that trip and, you know, maybe go 500, whatever, right? That's essentially what, except for they were starting off the season on the road five or seven games. I think it was seven, if I'm not. Seven, I think today is their last one, and then they go back home, right? Wow. They knew this. They knew this going into it. So,
but yet and still, the organization want to pretty much punish him and, you know, put him on a chopping block. I don't like it. You know, I really don't. Montreal, as and Maddie's going to get into that a little more. You guys need to look in the mirror and check yourselves, because right now you're wrecking yourselves, all right? I think they just put in one of the ex-players. He took over as the interim right now, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Donadell, right? I think they put him in as an interim. Here's the thing. He could come in there and the team, he could make a spark. The team could play well and they could win and make the playoffs. And he still could get fired at the end of the year, right? Because we've seen this happen several times the last couple years. I don't like this, man. This stinks right here, okay? This is not a good look for your organization. And you're pretty much making the coach a scapegoat. You know, and not allowing these guys, like you said, it's far enough to play on the road, but five to seven games in a row, that's crazy.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and I'm gonna do this off the rip, right? This might be one of the first time, I think it is the first time I've done this, but may it be the only time I do this. We're starting the episode off with a red card for the Montreal team off the rip. Okay,
wow. You're going Montreal savage mode already.
The foot, red car, straight red car. Okay, and here's the reason being, right? I was diving into this, and you mentioned, you know, talking about, you know, I'm gonna get into the situation, right? And here it is. Right. They have gone through a laundry list of coaches. I mean, I was actually shocked when I was looking at some of the coaches that they let go. Some of them, maybe you haven't even been following soccer that long, but the names pop out and you're like, him? They let him go as the coach? What are they thinking? And the guy that comes to mind for me when I said that was, let me find his name real quick, but to get back on my train of thought, Columbus's coach, who was also here, that's Wilfred Nancy, who just won. He was Montreal's coach. They let him go. That's one of the
yes,
ones.
Yes, he did.
I got my notes here. Thierry Henry. Thierry Henry was the manager of Montreal. And now, granted, this was during the COVID years, right? It was 2020 to 2021. It was kind of a shortened season or whatever.
Right.
But they still decided to part ways with him. And it's just like, what more could you want? They have like a certain parameters that they let, you know, because Montreal being up north, they speak French. They really like to go with French natives or people who can speak French. They have a
right.
That's fine. That's perfectly fine. But whenever you let go of Thierry Henry, you let go of Wilfred Nancy. You let go of Wilfred Nancy's assistant at Columbus Crew because you liked what Nancy was doing, and Courtois was going to be doing the same thing. Then you let him go. It's like, what do you want? What is it that you want? And oh, by the way, this is where it really, you know, kind of adds salt to the wound for them. They have not spent money on the designated player in like 10 years. They are, as far as like transfer fees, yes. They have not spent money on inbound players. So, you know, we always talked about, or in the beginning of the season, we were talking about transfer rumors and improved teams and everything else. Did we mention them? I don't think we did, because they did not improve. They improved their roster, but they did it in league. They didn't spend a whole lot of money. Mike, they spent $50,000 to get a quote designated player from New England, because New England just wanted him off their books. And that's it. That's all they spent was $50,000. Guy is Vrioni. Wow. He's injured. He hasn't played for them. that, you know, yet. He should be back later this month or whatever. And when you don't improve the roster, you got a clown show of a coaching carousel, letting go of coaches after one or two seasons. It's a dumpster fire right now. And I don't mean that to be disrespectful. I actually feel for the fans. The organization is
garbage. The fans, the super fans.
I do. Yeah. I feel for the fans. I really do. Because whenever they have home games, they're going to pack that stadium out. It's a beautiful stadium. They're going to pack it out. And the fans are going through all this nonsense, and it's on the organization.
Yeah, let me just interject. Let me say this. You're right, Maddie. You got the fangs out already. You look, you're already biting into these dudes, right? Super fans in Toronto. When you guys get a home game, right, let your voices be heard. Well, you can actually get online or whatever, go on your team website or whatever.
Montreal, you mean?
Let your voices be heard. Yes, please. Because this is absurd. This is unacceptable, unprofessional, and we don't know where you guys are going, what direction you're going right now. You know what I'm saying? The coaching carousel is, just like Maddie said, it's a circus up there. They're not even allowing these guys to develop, and they're not even investing in the players to develop. You know what I mean? It's this is crazy, guys, and you deserve more, right? So exactly. Let your voices be heard, and, hey, get at these dudes, man. And kind of let's look. You threw a red, but I got a yellow in my pocket over here. All right, I want to kind of segue and go into the other situation over in SKC. Right, Sporting Kansas City. Love Kansas City. Great city out there. They fired Peter Vermees. Right, salute to him. I mean, this guy, he's going to be in, when it's all said and done, Maddie, I think he's going to be in their Hall of Fame over there, right? He's going to, I mean, he's done so much for these guys. Let me just give him his flowers real quick. I don't want to be too long-winded, but let me just get this out because I got to pull a yellow card, right? I got to pull a yellow card, but let you guys know why. He's been there over 20-plus years as a player. In 2000, he won the MLS Cup as a player for the organization. We know, as a manager, he's been a manager 20-plus years, right, through the organization.
Since 2009.
Mm-hmm. Right on. So 2013, as a manager, he won the MLS Cup, right? If I'm not mistaken, they beat Real Salt Lake. That was like the coldest MLS Cup ever, I think they said it was. He won that. This guy's a staple there. Like I said, he's a Hall of Famer for that organization. He's been everything to these guys. And the way that this was just drawn out, like, let's just be real, man. And we were talking about this, and you mentioned it. They haven't been doing so hot. Last year they finished, what was it, I think 13th in the West, if I'm not mistaken, last year. Even before that, they haven't really been doing that well. And nothing but respect for Vermees, right? But these organizations, well, specifically SKC, what were you doing? You're dragging this along. It's like a relationship where, you know, you don't really love each other no more. Yeah, you know, you're there and you're kind of hanging around and you know it's over, but you don't want to, you know, move on. He deserved more than that. He deserved better than that. And just looking at it, I mean, what say you, Maddie, on this right here? Because I don't want to beat a dead horse, but go ahead.
Yeah, I'm gonna get into that, but I got one thing on my notes here. Last little crack of the whip for CF Montreal, right? Really, it's the ownership, right? And you can tell I'm real passionate about this. I'm gonna go back to it because this is important. This is an important piece, right? Their owner is Giuseppe Joey Saputo. Now, you can be like, oh, you know, ownership is hard. It is hard. But CF Montreal is not the only team that he owns. He owns an Italian football club, Bologna.
Wow.
And that's in Serie A. And guess what? Bologna does fine. They do great. They spend money. Bologna, they do this and that. So you can't sit there and say, you know, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. It's like, you're right. You don't know what you're doing here. But with the other one, you seem to be doing fine. You put the right people in place. You have the right coaches and players, et cetera. So why is it that you choose to neglect this? That's like if you have two kids and then you butter one up and you neglect the other. That's not fair. It's not right. CF Montreal, we feel for you here on this podcast. So, and I hope that you're listening. Don't think that we're just kicking you down. We understand. We get it. Let me say this real quick. Go ahead.
So he's treating CF Montreal like the stepchild, right?
Yeah, right.
You know how they treat this?
Bad.
You got
it's bad.
And
it's no, wrong. All right.
Pun intended.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
All right. So the SKC situation, I agree. It did go too long. Unfortunately for Peter Vermees, we talked about before we started recording. Really, in 2023, he kind of was his career with them was almost it was on life support because they started so many games in a row losing. Like they hadn't won a game in like 10 straight or something like that in 2023. And,
right, correct.
I made a comment to you. I said it was like his career with them got a defibrillator moment because they turned around and then won so many straight and had a ridiculous run, made the playoffs, beat St. Louis in the first round, and it was like, oh, everything's fine, everything's fine. That was in 2023. Now we have last year, 2024, they finished 13th.
Mm-hmm.
It was not very good. That was the moment where they should have sat down and said, hey, you've done great. You have a wonderful career with here. And it's just like, we can give you the time to turn it around and we can let you go mid-season or, you know, just basically. And he's been around long enough to know that these are scenarios. This is what we can do.
Right.
Or we can choose now to step in and say, hey, we need to, you know, take it in a different direction. And maybe he had enough pull, enough swing within the organization to say, hey, just give me one more shot. Let me do this and this. I can do this. It just didn't happen that way, unfortunately for him. And, yeah, he's a legend, for sure. He's a legend in Kansas City. He's a legend within MLS. Hate to see him go, but that's just the way it goes. This is a results-driven business, and the results weren't there for him. So, you know, they're going to find them a new coach.
Right. And again, I'm going to put this more so on the organization, similar to what you were saying with CF Montreal, because he deserved a little bit more, way more respect than the way they handled this situation, right? They knew the ship was sinking. They want life support, as you said. And in this season, they're literally the bottom of the West. They're in 15th. They haven't. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, you know, down these guys. I'm just being real. But they were like the Walking Dead this year, right? You went from life support to the Walking Dead. And for the organization to mishandle this like this, you guys get a yellow card, okay?
Yeah.
Now, since we're here, let's go ahead. Who's next? Who's next on the menu? Because they're devouring coaches. Like, this is the buffet right now. They're devouring coaches. I'm going to touch on a team that, hold on, let me just get this out. I'm going to let you run with it.
Okay, go ahead.
Look, I got a team that's from outer space.
Oh, yeah? What team is that?
Yes, sir. They're in La La Land, but right now they're playing like they're from outer space right now because they ain't won nothing so far this year, right? And I'm talking about the Galaxy. I mean, the defending MLS Cup champions. And look, Ricky, we go back to the hey, Ricky, you know, yeah, he's the heart and soul, but bro, what say you? Is this coach over there? Is he on the hot seat or what?
I think that it's definitely warming up because some of the decisions that he's made has been even before they won the championship, if you know just a small smidge of recent history in MLS, they were towards the bottom of the West before they won it. They went out and got some players, and that really rejuvenated their team to go on to spur and win the MLS Cup last year. But yeah, 2023 was very tough for the LA Galaxy and the years before that too. They were going through just a time of just, you know, it wasn't the Galaxy fans were not used to this. And then they get back to what they're used to last year. They turned Dignity Health Sports Park into an impregnable fortress. They didn't lose a game. Things were looking on the upswing. you know, Ricky gets hurt. That's unfortunate. But it seemed like the even we said this, Mike, we even said this, that
yes,
the team was still going to be able to recover from his loss, like, by committee. You know, it's just like, okay, well, you know, somebody, next player up, somebody's going to have to step up, but we'll be able to make it. And it hasn't happened that way. The coach does have to take some of the blame because they have a goalkeeper controversy that was of his own making. Mm. I made a yes. comment to you about this, right? So they got the young kid, Misovic, who he just doesn't seem like he's quite there yet. And so they change it out, and then they put in John McCarthy, who was their goalkeeper right. all of last year, won the right. MLS Cup with them. And last game versus Orlando, he had a really, really poor goalkeeper error that cost them points because, right. I mean, it was tied at that moment late in the game. Then he messes up and, allows that goal in a very kind of brutal way as a goalkeeper. And now you got the young kid, he's not sure of himself. Now you got the veteran, and he's going to be, at least thinking about, like, maybe, because his contract is up at the end of this year. So he's fighting for his...
Oh, he's in a contract year. Wow.
He's in a contract year. Right. And whereas before, you know, he was the guy. And if you say, hey, you're the guy until your contract runs out and we're going to go with somebody else, sometimes the players, they can appreciate that honesty. But then you start the young kid and you say, okay, you're going to be the backup. But then now you switch it all of a sudden. There's just a lot of, self-inflicted wounds here that has to go right. to the manager, the one that's making the decisions. And so, yeah, he's got to be on the hot seat. That's for sure.
Mm.
Just with the decisions that's going on and not being able to get results and things like that. At the end of the day, the players are the ones that have to perform, but the decisions the coach makes can affect the player's ability yes. to go out and perform.
Yes. Having the right coach or manager is very essential to winning. I don't care how much talent you got over there. And right now he's cooking donuts. He's cooking Dunkin' and Krispy Kreme donuts because he has an offer right now in the win column. Mm-hmm. So he definitely has to step his game up and get these guys motivated because you guys got too much talent out there, Galaxy Super fans. It's too much talent on that team to make excuses right now for you guys to be at the bottom. What are they? I think 13th or 14th in the West right now. And that's unacceptable for a defending MLS champion, right?
I'm gonna throw you an alley-oop, right? Okay, so
segue
for another one. You talked about Duncan, right? Let's talk about New England. They got one. They got a coach that's on a hot seat, I think. Maybe not. Who knows? They cut reporters' questions from the official site whenever he asks him, hey, are you on the hot seat? And so maybe not. I don't
yes.
know.
Yes. Oh, that was crazy. Edited, right? Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy. I remember that. He's in the oven. He's in the oven. I mean, it ain't on broil, but he's in the oven and he's definitely warm. I mean, bro, I'm going to be honest with you. This weekend, these games, this could determine a lot of guys' future right now, to be honest with you, if they don't win, right?
I agree.
So I don't want to say do or die, but, it could be a savage weekend right now, okay? Very savage. and I was just going to throw the Dynamo out there also,
Yes.
As we've seen these guys, they've yet to win. Like I said, these guys, and shout out to Houston. You guys have been pretty competitive. What was that match the other week? Didn't they have they played, man. Because we were watching and we were commenting. I can't remember, but they looked pretty competitive. But, man, I don't know what went wrong, what went left over there. But their coach got to be sweating bullets over there in H-Town right now. Man.
Yeah, it seems that they're running into a goalkeeper problem too, because they're in a goalkeeper transition, and I might have my teams mixed up, but I want to say I might have them in Portland mixed up. But somebody got hurt, and no, I think it was Houston's goalkeeper got hurt, and now he's going to be out. So they were switching from Clark. He's been a great goalkeeper for a long time, but he's getting up there. I mean, we talk a lot about Brad Guzan, who's playing at a high level of 40. He's either 40 or 42. I mean, he might be 40. Uh-huh. He's up there, though. That's up there. And I think that Clark was up there as well. I don't want to say his first name, but I know it was something Clark. And he was good for them the past couple of years, and now they just went in a different direction. And I think that their goalkeeper that they went in a different direction got hurt. And so that's one of their woes. But, yeah, it has been surprising. I picked Houston to make the playoffs, and the fact that they're, struggling so bad is kind of a
– I didn't.
It's a head scratch. It's a head scratch.
I don't – yeah, that was – did he get hurt against – it was against Portland, right? I think they played Portland last week. Because that was the Sunday match of the week or whatever, I think. I'm trying to remember. But did he get hurt in that one?
It might have been. But it might have been that one.
Yeah, Portland played. They went crazy out there. Those fans, shout out to those fans, super fans out there in Portland. They were just going crazy. It was raining like crazy, and up there in the Northwest, and it didn't bother them at all. They showed up, showed out, supported their team, and the Dynamo they couldn't get it off last week, and it ain't getting easier because they're playing LAFC. They're at home, but they got LAFC at home today, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Okay, that's going to be a test for them because LAFC, even though they just played a weekday match versus Miami, so they'll have to rotate the squad, but. They are probably feeling good about it, but when you're have to rotate the squad, but you're playing a team that's struggling, you got to kind of feel good about maybe throwing some younger guys out there to give them a shot to do some damage. But it's looking bad for Houston, and unfortunately, they went out and they spent money with the cash for player trade system to get Jack McGlynn. I know we're going to be talking about that here shortly, but that was Gillingham. That was it. He was the one that got hurt.
Gillingham? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And I'm just glancing at this schedule, Maddie, here. And like I said, they got LAFC today, and then they got the Galaxy, which they're starving for a win, right? And then they got Colorado. They got Austin. Then they got LAFC. It ain't getting easier for these guys. I mean, we literally could see these guys in these next five. They might have a chance to win one. Maybe. I don't know. But it's and they got the Sounders. Bro, in Minnesota, it's not getting any easier. This is crazy right now. So they really got to dig deep. And you guys got to compete out there. Look, guys, you got to play like this is the last game. For your life, you got to play like, like this is for all the marbles right now because your schedule is crazy the next month and a half. Wow. But that's the MLS period. Every week is competitive, We caught a bullet last week, right? My God, late.
Okay, I got to make a correction, Mike. I did my research and on the fly. Andrew Tarbell is the one that for Houston Dynamo that got hurt, and the young fellow Gillingham is the one that come in. So that's the injury.
Okay.
Tarbell got and he's going to be out. It's an ACL, so he's out. Or excuse me.
Oh wow.
LCL.
LCL. Oh, LCL. Come back. Yeah.
Cruciate ligament injury. He's out till basically the end of this year. November is his time to for his return.
Oh wow.
And so they're now on their goalkeeper number two, and he just made his first start. And so that's one of the reasons why they lose 3-1, putting out a young goalkeeper out there. But, Houston's got problems. They got to get it turned around, or Ben Olsen's going to be a thing of the past.
Another coach going fishing, huh?
Yeah, another coach gone fishing. And let me just put a little bug in your ear for later on, right? This one could be I'm not saying that he's on the hot seat as far as getting fired this year, but I think that this one is an interesting situation that a coach might not be renewed.
Right.
If he doesn't play, if the team doesn't perform well, and I think that's going to be Oscar Breja with Orlando. His contract ends this year, there hasn't been any talk of renewing his contract, and so if they don't do up to their level that they did last year, like I said, they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. They lost to your Red Bulls to make it to the you guys made it to the MLS Cup.
MLS Cup.
The organization doesn't think that he's up to the same level for them, or maybe even better, he could be on the hot seat. And some teams like to have their coaches in that situation where it's a pressure cooker type situation where it's like put them under the pressure and see what they can do for us. If we're talking 2026 season preview, I could very easily see us talking about a new coach in Orlando. Very easily.
Wow. And I'm just glancing here. Orlando. Okay, pretty much a three-way tie. But I see these guys. I definitely hear what you're saying. And that's the thing, guys. Look. All of these guys is a pressure cooker, like you were mentioning. You got to come out here and you got to win, you know what I'm saying? And, man, I wouldn't want to be in that hot seat right now, to be honest with you, but I'm just going to be real with you. Yeah. Because they're so competitive. Like, the parity is crazy, bro. I mean, that's why I love MLS anyway. We both love it because of that. But, Orlando, very interesting, good. Very good point right there. And, of course, Toronto. Last but not least, I'll just mention Toronto because Toronto's in second to last in the East.
You think Toronto's coach is on the hot seat? Really?
They're at the bottom of the barrel too, man.
I just find it a little bit surprising because they just brought him in. Never know.
Look, it don't matter. Look. Look, bro, that's what I'm saying. We don't know what's the coaching what is the standard? What is the what are they expecting from these guys? They don't give them a chance. It's almost they treat them almost like a blind date. You show up, you know what I mean? And hey, it's crazy, but he's at the bottom of the barrel right now,
I could see it. It's possible, but they got some.
I hope not.
They got some player situations they gotta get alleviated first. I mean, they got a player on a designated player contract that wants out, and anytime you deal with that, you're gonna be struggling. So I think that once Insigne decides to make a move either at the end of this contract or they find a suitor for him in the summer, I think that'll help out because you could get a new player in that wants to be there. Having a player in an organization on a team that doesn't want to be there, it doesn't do well for the chemistry and everything else. Yeah, once that gets alleviated, I think that they'll be all right. But we made a mention of the cash for player trade system. You wanna get into that one, Mike?
Yeah, we can definitely get into that. Just get these guys kind of up to speed because there's been some major changes for the better for the league, and it's allowed these guys to go out and get I think this is for the future of the league, right? It's pretty much ensuring a bright future for the MLS. And we'll just kind of go over it a little bit, and then I'll let you, because I know you're gonna dive deep, kind of break it down to these guys and whatnot. They got a lot of rule changes, and I think it's going to be very, very good for the future of the MLS. And as far as us getting a lot of stars, so I'm just give you guys a basic rundown here, right? So now the rules allow the clubs to use an unlimited amount of out-of-pocket funds or cash to trade for players. Clubs can now acquire players via trade without having to worry about using the general allocation money or assets such as international roster spots moving forward. Now, there are some caveats, but clubs can only trade for two players each year and trade away two players for cash each season for a total of four transactions. And as well, if a trade is facilitated using cash, that is the only form of compensation allowed in the transaction. And finally, if a player is acquired via cash trade, that fills the designated player or under 22 initiative player slot, that player must remain, must retain that designation at their new club for the duration of the guaranteed term of their contract. And then finally, clubs can also convert revenue acquired via cash trades to general allocation money. So, I'm just giving you a basic rundown of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot, but I'll let you go in deep. Matt, you can go ahead and
I started off giving that example of Jack McGlynn, right? That was the example that I used, but he's one of the ones. The very first one was Dejan Jovetic with SKC Sporting, yes, Kansas City, which we talked on them.
right.
He was with the Galaxy last year, and Galaxy pretty much loaded up their roster with, you know, it was win or bust. Like they knew they weren't going to be able to keep the whole roster together. And he was one of those casualties. And we were talking beforehand that, you know, if the MLS doesn't implement this new rule, the chances are, you know, if this happened 2 years ago, 3 years ago, he would have had to maybe move on leagues. He would have had to, you know, they would have had to find a suitor somewhere else for his contract and everything else. And having this rule is saying, hey, we can't take him in because we have roster restrictions because of the salary cap. But if another team, you know, gives us an acceptable sum of money, then we can, you know, move off of him. And that's what they did. So Dejan Jovetic goes from the championship-winning Galaxy to SKC, and he stays within the league, seems to like where he's playing. And let's talk about another one. Very kind of face of the league, I guess you could say, in a way, with Lucho Acosta. It was rumored before the season started that he might go back to Argentina. And, FC Dallas comes in and says, hey, we'll give you $5 million to Cincinnati. And Cincinnati says, here, take him. We don't, you know, whatever we can get for him.
Right.
And then they use some of those funds to go out and get Evander, who's another player on that list. And so instead of us talking about players who have been in the league, we're talking about players who have stayed in the league. And that's been a very good benefit and bonus of this trade player system, because if a player is disgruntled or doesn't like whatever the situation is, instead of completely leaving the league, you can say, okay, I just want to leave this team and stay in the league.
Right. No, so, excellent point. And let me add on to that. The MLS, okay, they're now also allowed to buy out two guaranteed contracts per year, right? Mm, including designated players. Yes, that gives them a lot of flexibility, right?
Mm-hmm. Hey,
if you have an issue or whatever with a said player, you can buy them out and, you know, you got an opportunity to go elsewhere, and then you can go and get someone else to bring in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah. That's come to fruition for Nashville. We have two players, Randall Leal and the goalkeeper. I see his face and I can't think of his name. Panico. Panico. We bought out two of those players. So we've already used it to an extent of improving our roster. I mean, we just decided to move on from those players, so we bought them out. And but I could see an issue in a situation where a team uses those funds to get rid of a disgruntled player. I know Toronto has talked about using that rule to buy out Insigne, but his contract is so much they just don't want to eat that money.
I mean, yeah,
he's making $15 million, so they would have to come to some sort of agreement in the multiple millions to get him out. Yeah, so that's kind of a, you know, we don't like what's going on. We got a gangrenous situation, but, you know, it's going to hurt more to cut off the gangrene than it is to just, you know, let it die out on its own. So they're just going to, you know, hopefully get something out of him on the field and then just move on. But he's kind of being a little rat now. So, but yeah.
And, and just to kind of, I was just looking here. So the primary transfer window, we're in it right now. From January 31st to April 23rd. So in these next couple weeks, guys, look for it could be a lot of movement going on, right?
There could be, very much so. You want to talk about the major wave that might be hitting the MLS potentially with the biggest rumor?
Oh, rumor has it. Go ahead, hit him on the head with
the. Oh no, you want me to do it? I was gonna give you the. I was gonna alley-oop you.
Go ahead. Look, it's savage. You got the fangs out right now. Go ahead.
Okay. Right now, the biggest rumor in really world soccer, not even U.S.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's in the world. Yes,
the U.S. is included in this, but the biggest rumor is that Manchester City great. Kevin De Bruyne has said that he's leaving the club after this season, however, whenever it completes. And San Diego FC has been the big, you know, sort of he's been connected to them. I mean, it's just been since they started as a club. It was like, oh, Kevin De Bruyne, he's going to leave from Manchester City, and once he said he was leaving, they're the first name that pops out. And then it comes to light that San Diego FC is not really – it's not that they're not interested. It doesn't look like it's going to pan out for them currently the way they have their roster constructed. So kind of leaves it up in the air. I mean, who knows? Maybe he goes there. Maybe he goes somewhere else. I mean, there's a couple of teams with open slots that could use a player of his caliber.
Right, and now why is the reason he's not staying with Manchester United? Was he disgruntled, or he just wanted to change the scenery, or what's his deal? Because this guy's one of the best in the world right now.
I think it's just it's one of those kind of we mentioned it earlier about the Vermees situation where I'm not saying that he's disgruntled with the club. I just think that you know they've had him. He was injured last year a good bit. And he hasn't been starting. He's been coming off the bench and everything else. And it's just kind of, you know, they haven't been able to come to terms on an agreement on his salary and things of that nature. So it's just like they're just not on the same page anymore. And so he's deciding to go somewhere else. And, you know, he has a lot of interest, whether it be in Saudi Arabia, in the Saudi League, or even in Europe, U.S. I mean, so I guess he's feeling that he's not – being treated the way that he would like to where he's at. And he's like, hey, I can either get more money or perhaps even a better situation for me and my play style and my age of my career if I make a move. So he's deciding that that's the best for his career right now is to make a move.
Right. Okay, I got you. So pretty much it's run its course out there, and he's looking for greener pastures. Well, let me just say this for the record. I would love to see this guy come to the MLS, right? You got the new rule. These guys can spend, the clubs can spend whatever amount of money they want to spend to get him over here, right? I know Chicago earlier was trying to get, Ronaldo, right? They were trying to get him, right?
Neymar.
Yes. And he was flirting around. He didn't know which way he wanted to go for a while. But I think this would be a very good opportunity for someone, Red Bulls, if you're listening, Hey, I gotta shout my guys out because we're like in eighth or ninth right now. But yeah, I would definitely love to see him come over here because, dude, we're turning this into it's a lot of star power we're building over here in the MLS. And you know, the guys that are over here right now, I don't see anybody complaining. These guys are going out here and they're balling out, right? It's been some really exciting soccer from these guys that they've brought over here, and I could definitely see them. You know, getting picked up over here. Hell, I wouldn't be surprised if the Galaxy try to get them. They're hurting like they are right now, you know.
I don't think they have the flexibility as far as designated players or all of that. So there's a few teams probably that not, have but... the designated player available because more than likely he's gonna be in that caliber of a salary situation. And, the Columbus Crew have come forward as a possibility because, as we both have talked about on the show, Cucho is now in La Liga playing for Real Betis, and so that $16 million that they got from his sale, they could possibly it could alleviate some of that if that could be a situation. And then also your crosstown rivals, New York City FC. They're a landing spot for him because they're part of the City Group, which owns several teams around the world, and Manchester City is one of them, which De Bruyne plays
for. Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Right. There's a couple of them. It's Manchester City, New York City. I watched the Indian Super League. What's the other one? It's not Delhi. Not Delhi. Oh, shoot.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other ones. There's another one that's part of the City Group over there. I'll think of it in a minute, but yeah, and there's a bunch of, it's like I said, around the world, they got like three or four different clubs.
Shout out to FUBO.
Shout out
to FUBO TV. We get all those matches from all around the world.
Right. You can watch it all. Yes. But yeah, Mumbai City, that's the one. They're the ones.
Oh, Mumbai. Okay.
Mumbai.
Yep. Out of India. Yeah. Mumbai.
So yeah, could be a, and they have nobody as far as a designated player. I think they might have maybe one on their roster. They have the open slots. They are a young team. Talking about New York City FC right now. They're a young team.
Correct.
They're going to be opening up a new stadium in 2 years. And what better way to open up a new stadium than with a top world-class player on your team? And that's a big draw right there.
Right. Nah, that definitely bring the super fans in, especially in the New York City area. I think they're building that stadium in, I think, Queens, maybe. I'm trying to remember, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's dope. Yeah. They're playing like a Yankee Stadium right now.
The renderings that I've seen of it, it looks amazing. Amazing.
Oh, wow. Wow. I love it. I mean, and that's another thing. Speaking of stadiums, because you look at
Energizer Park. Yeah, I checked that out. Yeah. St. Louis City.
That's SKC, correct?
No. That's St. Louis. St. Louis. You're going to get...
St. Louis. I'm sorry.
You're going to get stoned by the SKC fans. You said they're staying in there because that's a rivalry, bud. You stepping all in it.
Yeah, I know. Super fans going to want to kick my behind out there.
You're going to get some angry fans.
I was just saying they got a beautiful stadium, though. That's what I was going to say. Yeah, definitely.
They do,
definitely.
But make sure that you don't say SKC Stadium because... The SKC fans will tell you quickly that that is not their stadium. That is St. Louis' stadium, guy.
Hey, I'm just joking, y'all. I'm just playing with you.
All right, so the last player we have on our rumor mill, right, is Thomas Mueller from Bayern Munich. And he's been with them for a long time. And he's moving on. And there's a couple of teams that are interested in him. So I'm all for the teams in MLS getting these guys that have played at a high level their whole career. Because all it's going to do is elevate the league, even though they might be aged a little bit. I mean, some of them, like Messi, aged like fine wine. It's like, you might not get them for the entire year. But, you're getting them for, a couple game stretches where they're still going to be as good as they were. Maybe not, at the peak, but they're still going to be up there playing at levels that are exciting to see. So, Yeah, the MLS can have a moniker sometimes of being a retirement league, quote unquote, for some of these players. But, you know, let them come. Increase the level, increase the competition, and, you know, make it to where our players here, homegrown players, have to, you know, grow and get better and get stronger to hit that competition level.
I agree. I would take it as a challenge if I'm a American, you know, USA guy that's born over here, and you got an older gentleman, great soccer player, again, what is he, 30, 35, something like that, 36 or whatever?
He's 35,
He's a little longer in the tooth. Right, so you got us young guys who are like, wow, you're going to get him? I'm right here. What's wrong with me, right? And I know my guys were interested in him, and shout out to the Red Bulls again. I keep plugging this, but we got Topo Moting and, of course, Forsberg, and they've been doing really good. But we were interested in him. Both of those guys are, like, around – they're the same age as him, 35, 34, 36, whatever. And, yeah, it's great. He's in good health. I mean, if he comes over here, wherever, a lot of teams are interested, like you said, Maddie. He definitely could make a difference getting guys – maybe putting them over that hump, right, and making a big difference. But you got to manage his
Manage his minutes or whatever. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got
right.
to.
I agree with that.
Not load managing, but managing, you know, his minutes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I agree with that. I mean, you know, soccer is a very physical sport, and, you know, you only allow so many substitutions. So, you know, if you watch and say, all right, let's, instead of playing in this game, we're going to play in that game, or play him this many minutes and that. Yeah, there's ways of doing it. And, yeah, and I'm not trying to downplay what we have over here, but whenever you're talking about whether it be the Premier League or be the Championship, these other leagues just around the world, it seems that they play more right. games than we play over here. I mean, some of their seasons might be 40, 50 games, and it's like they're yes. playing one or two games a week, seems like. And then they come over here, and it's like we have 30. So 30 or 33. Not entirely sure on that. But it, even still, if it's 33, right. if you're used to playing 60-something, you go to playing 33, you're playing half the games you're used to playing. So,
nah, this is true. Then they got that layoff. They got a couple weeks layoff this summer, right? I'm trying to think.
Right. Yep. Because of the Club World Cup and all of that, there'll be a little bit of a layoff. Yeah. But all right, Mike. I'm not trying to ease this this episode along, but this super fan is about to go watch his team play. Kickoff is about to start.
I'm going
to
watch you guys too.
Charlotte. And yeah, right. So it's about to kick off. So let's wrap this one up so we can both indulge in this this rivalry match that's about to get kicked off.
Yeah, we can go ahead and kind of, I guess, put a ribbon on it, tie it up. I just want to speak real quick. I got another yellow I'm going to throw out here concerning security. So I don't know if you guys heard about it. You know, we're trying to stay up with, you know, what's hot, what's trending. And this was this kind of struck me because, again, Maddie and I, we had the opportunity. We went to a match in Orlando last year, and I'm going back here. Excellent match. Canada and was it Chile?
It was, Chile and Canada, because the Chile fans were whoo.
So, like I said, we're out there in Orlando at the match watching Canada and Chile, and man, it was like a attack of the pitch invaders, you know. Raucous crowd. It was very boisterous crowd. And I lied to you guys not. It was like fans running from every angle. The security really couldn't keep up with these guys. And it was, you know, it was kind of crazy, but it was, you know, pretty entertaining at the same time, to say the least. But, okay, so here's my point, guys. As we all know, Messi's bodyguard for the last few years, Yacine Chuco, right? He just got banned by MLS. So he is, no longer allowed on the pitch, correct? I think he's still part of Inter Miami security, of course. But as far as being out there visible, you know, on the pitch, on the field and whatnot, they're not allowing him to be out there. And he made a statement, an article, I think it was on Apple News. He made a statement mentioning that in 20 months that they've been here since coming to the MLS, he's witnessed or seen at least 16 people run onto the pitch, right? And as we all know, that's crazy. You know what I'm saying? I know we have good security over here, and MLS is doing their best. But and Messi, like I said, Messi, they were trying to put him on a pedestal. He's being treated different, but he is the face of the MLS right now. He is the most valuable asset, and I know you need to protect him. But not to be too long-winded, but yeah, Maddie, what do you think about the situation? Do you think the MLS is being too harsh, or is this proper procedure? Because he's getting out there right now. He's actually trying to, I don't know, he's getting a little celebrity status too, but go ahead.
I think it's a little harsh, but at the same time, you got to look at it from the league's perspective. If we allow one player to have, you know, their own private security right there off, you know, off on the side, able to jump in at any time, where do you draw the line? I mean, we got a lot of players coming to the league that, and other players that we want to come to the league. And then all they got to simply say is, well, Messi has this, so why can't I do this or that? So I think they're kind of getting ahead of it. And I think that it makes them look bad that, you know, here we have this worldwide celebrity, let's call him what he is. And
icon,
right? And he feels the need that he has to have his own private security, you know, that's really close to him because – the security that we employ to keep him safe so he doesn't get, you know, mm-hmm. mobbed by crazy fans, just crazy people in general, is not up to par for his liking or whatever. And again, we don't have Messi's input on this. This is all articles and things like that. We just have his bodyguard saying that, you know, he wants to, you know, be there and everything else. And I'm reading part of the article too. It says, I love MLS and CONCACAF, but we have to work together. I love helping. I'm not better than anyone, but I have a wealth of experience in Europe. It's fine. I understand the decision, but I think we could do better. So he's coming about it from the right perspective. He's not being proud and saying like, oh, I'm better than these guys and they're slouches or this, that, and a third. But I mean, at the end of the day, he just wants to keep Messi safe. So, you know, props to him for that. But that's what I said. It could be seen as a little harsh on MLS's end.
Mm. Yeah, I now that you put it that way, I agree. And I think in a roundabout way, he's saying the MLS needs to step up their security overall, I think, in these matches. This guy has a lot, like you just mentioned, I thought about it. It's like, okay, a light bulb went off. He has all this experience over in Europe. What is that? How do you pronounce the league? League One or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he's worked, I think, the last couple World Cups and such. So this guy, he knows what he's talking about. Yeah, we're not trying to give Messi the, like you say, special treatment, but they maybe need to beef up their security a little bit because these fans, we love these super fans, but, you know, we can't turn into crazy. Crazy deranged fans out here, you know. I'd be respectful of the pitch and the players out there and whatnot. So, yeah, and it's interesting. And just, you know, this guy's a former U.S. Navy SEAL. I was just looking at his background. Mixed martial artist. And for you fact checkers out there, he actually, I think, was like a week or so ago, he challenged him and Logan Paul. He challenged Logan Paul to a fight. Which I found very interesting and possibly entertaining. You know, so this guy, he's getting a little celebrity status right now. You might want to get on the gram.
He's already there.
Wow. Okay. So he's probably, okay. He might be pushing a mill right now or something. He's probably going pretty good. So, I definitely think because it just was an issue to me because, you know, we're going to be hosting the World Cup here, of course. You know, next summer and this summer we got everybody's coming here this year, right? We already know the deal on that. So he has a good point. So, Commish, we love you guys. Love MLS. Yeah, maybe sit down and talk to them and try to get a good game plan for us as far as security and keeping everybody safe and whatnot.
I'm going to drop a suggestion for the league, right? If instead of – if you don't want it to be special privileges or special treatment for Messi – and this guy wants to help out. He said he wants to help Messi. Why don't he just help out the league? Why don't you take him in and listen to some of his suggestions that he might have? Because he's bringing a wealth of experience, and you'd be foolish not to listen to him and bring in, you know, some of his suggestions on things that he thinks, you know, that he could look at it from a certain perspective that you're not going to see. And he could say, hey, this right here is a potential blind spot. This right here is a potential hazard. This right here, you know, fix it this way or that way. This is what I would do. And just and at the very minimum, you could just sit there and get a different perspective. You could not do anything with it, but you get a different perspective. And you could see and you know, you're getting the private thoughts of the personal bodyguard of Messi, and you can see where he's coming from, so that you could maybe put it into your training courses or whatever for your bodyguards and your security personnel at the matches and everything else. I mean, it doesn't hurt. I mean, he's willing to offer. I take him up on it.
Excellent point. And he says he's willing to, you're right. He want to work with those guys, and yeah, I think they should commission. Talk to this guy, you know, he definitely wants to help. And, you know, because players want to feel more safe. We like I said, what we witnessed down here in Orlando, it was crazy. I mean, it was a movie. Running those guys around the field. They couldn't really contain them. You saw it. It was from every angle. So you don't want that to happen here because that's not a good look. But, yeah, guys, listen to him, you know.
Yep. And in the meantime, yellow card on MLS for, you know, being heavy-handed with it. I mean, it could have been handled differently, and he's wanting to help, so I don't, you know. Yeah, yellow card MLS, but I think that right there is, you know, this is a situation like many of them that we have and we bring to you guys. So. Yes,
indeed. All right,
I think that wraps us up, Mike.
Yes, indeed. Appreciate you super fans for coming out. Let's have a good one. And I'll holla.
All right, you knuckleheads. See you next time.
Thank you for joining us and showing your support. Become a part of our community by subscribing to our SoccerCast. Hit us up and send your comments to info@superfansusa.com. Peace.